Hello, and welcome to the very first Cinema Clash Pandemic Edition. I'm Hannah Buchdahl of chickflix.net.
And I am Charlie Jewell of charliejewell.com. Hannah, where are you?
I'm in my house, Charlie. Where are you?
I'm where we always record the Cinema Clash, in my basement.
I know, it is so weird for us to be in two separate locations. In the 4 or 5 years we've been doing this, this is truly our first ever experimental remote podcast. So who knows what will happen?
Well, thank you for being so technologically savvy. You're the one who found this application, this website, and you put it all together, and we're still drinking alcohol, so we're at least trying to be somewhat normal.
Yeah, thanks to Zencaster is the trial that I'm on right now to see if this works. And yes, in some semblance of normalcy, I did pour myself a drink. I had to buy it myself, but luckily it was in my stash. And so it's called Hope's End, and it is a red blend. And it said, I know this was actually in my closet already, in my little stash, run away to the dark side to a place called Port Misery. And it's an Australian wine, and, you know, sorry, couldn't find anything cheerier, but that's what I had, so that's what I'm drinking. And how about you?
Port Misery sounds like a movie I would like.
Well, it sounds actually like a little bit, I don't know if we're going to talk about, yeah, Blow the Wind Down. It actually might kind of go a little bit with that one, but what have you got brewing?
I'm drinking a very heavy beer, a Belgian Air, a buddy of mine brought over for dinner like a month ago. It's it is from Belgium. It was bottled in Ghent, a family brewery brewing since 1654. It's called Delirium, and it is really potent. This is a potent potable.
Well, that sounds like a good choice, actually, for our times. And we will just kind of see how this goes. We apologize in advance for any weirdness. We usually have each other to sort of get the visual cues off of. But as is always the case, we are doing this completely freeform, unscripted, for the most part, unedited, and we'll just see how it goes. But I guess we should maybe talk movies, huh, Charlie?
We'll fix it in post.
You did learn that we will fix it in post.
We'll fix it in
Might
post.
End up, we will rely on somebody else, hopefully, to fix it in post. But because I'm looking at the little squiggly lines, and it looks like my microphone is not recording quite at the same levels as yours. But I'm hoping it does get fixed in some sort of automated post. You know, we will find out eventually.
Well, you don't have my basement's carpeted. Yeah, I've been in your apartment once, and I remember it was like hardwood floors. It's very echoey in there.
Yeah, well, I am in my little den that is carpeted, but I hear people sometimes in the hallway, and it's not quite the soundproofing that you've got. But hey, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And I'm sure everybody's, you know, was thinking at home, oh my gosh, will there be another Cinema Clash in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic?
If you have doubt, my inbox has been just exploding with our fans going, what are you going to do?
That's right. And so this has given us time. You know, I am the one who is always talking about how much I prefer going to see the big movies in the theater. You should be in your element being in semi-quarantine, because you were not in a frame of mind to be going out anyway to go see the big movies that were being screened in the theater. So, you know, you're probably adapting way more than I am to trying to watch movies at home.
I've been in catch-up mode. I've seen a couple that you have talked about. I've seen ones from the long, long ago. But I'm actually using this time to watch television shows. We watch so many films, you know, 4 or 5 a week, and I never get to participate in water cooler office chat about blah 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 TV show. I don't have time to watch TV, so I've actually watched an entire series, and I'm partway through 2 others, and it's weird how the other half lives.
Yeah, what are you watching?
Well, since I have a 7-year-old, I signed up for Disney Plus, and we inhaled The Mandalorian. I wanted to see what everyone was. Mandalorian, you know, it's faded now. But for a while, you know, a couple months ago, it was all Baby Yoda. So all right, what's going on here with The Mandalorian? And it was really good. It's not one of those Star Wars cartoons that are also on Disney Plus, like the Clone Wars and Star Wars Resistance, which are really for the kiddies. Mandalorian's for adults. It's quite violent. There's adult themes, and there is a Baby Yoda. I mean, his name's not Baby Yoda. It's the child. But Werner Herzog is in it. Carl Weathers, you know, Apollo Creed is in it. Nick Nolte is a voice of one of the characters. I love how they're bringing back not B-listers, but, you know, awesome character actors. I saw 8 episodes in rapid succession, and I loved The Mandalorian.
That's good. I mean, I've been watching the one that has all the buzz right now, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. And I must say, it is the most bizarre, outrageous, crazy thing that I've seen in a long time. I'm somewhere in the middle of the 3rd episode of 7, and I guess it's one of those true crime podcast type of stories that was made into this docu-series that these folks filmed for 5 years. And so it is certainly an interesting watch, and you can't really even explain what it is. It's got a lot of big cats and a lot of really crazy characters. And so I'm sure folks who have been kind of interested in figuring out what all the buzz is about will probably check that one out on Netflix at some point, because that's where you can find it.
I saw the trailer for it, and I immediately told my coworkers about it because I knew they would love it, and they loved it. They inhaled it, and they're all done with it now. It's not my cup of tea. I'm really not into stuff like that. But I saw a tweet from just a couple hours ago that they want to make Joe Exotic like the limited TV series, and people like Edward Norton and Dax Shepard are already fighting over the Joe Exotic role. So this pop culture phenomenon, which is currently number one on Netflix, most people are streaming that than any other thing on that service. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
It may not be your cup of tea, but I think you'd be surprised to find that actually it sort of is. It's just that weird. So at some point you might even want to check it out, or just check out one, get through the first one and see where you land, because it's sort of addictive. It's like one rolls into the next, and before you know it, you've succumbed. So, but that aside, we have been watching a few films, and I know that I watched The Banker on Apple TV Plus because I just happened to get some sort of free trial for a year. And so I decided it has like a really good cast. And it's sort of about injustice in the real estate and banking world back in the 60s. And again, just discrimination against African Americans. And so it reminded me a bit of watching Just Mercy, where you just kind of got that glimpse into the injustice in the justice system towards African Americans in terms of capital punishment. This sort of was goes back in time a little further to the 60s, but really was a really interesting watch.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for The Banker because it was supposed to open a few months ago, and then a scandal happened, and it was, you know, the studio pushed the pause button because you couldn't release a movie if someone had been accused of something, and now they're just sneaking it out on Apple TV Plus, but I'd never really heard too much buzz about it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's got a great cast. It has Anthony Mackie, Samuel L. Jackson, Nicholas Hoult, and Nia Long, and so, you know, when you've got that kind of a cast, they can really elevate what is not a very exciting drama, but they're good to watch. And so it's an interesting story and a really good cast. So, you know, it's probably worth, when you run out of things to watch as we, you know, extend our quarantine, it's not a terrible thing to put onto the list, but there are better things too. And I think, well, you saw a strange one. What was the one, Vivarium? What was that about?
Yeah, available starting today on any video on demand platform. Vivarium. I saw the trailer for this and I was like, this is it. This is my movie. It's Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots are in England, and they are a young married couple. They are in the housing market, and they go to see this new development, this new suburban development. You know, this is your new forever home where you can raise a family. And then they can't leave. They can't leave the development. It turns into a circle. There's no exits. And they get a box that says, raise the child, because there's a child in the box, be released. So it's aliens. Is it an alien movie? A science fiction movie? The first half hour setup is quite intriguing. Where's this going to go? And then the last hour is, oh man, this is, it slows down. I got a little bored, got a little twitchy. I see what they're doing. It's a metaphor for, you know, we're all consumers and we're all going to die in debt because, you know, the evil corporations wants us to buy things. And that just kind of put me off a little bit. But, for those of you who venture further afield like I do, you know, there's worse things out there.
Really? That doesn't seem like the kind of thing you'd really want to watch under the present circumstances.
No, there's a social distancing message that you can see in there now that I'm pretty sure the director didn't mean to be in there. But, you know, because they're the only two people, you know, alive now in their little development.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Another one that I'm not sure if we call it fun or not, but I think this one we both watched, Blow the Man Down, which is available on Amazon Prime Video. I don't think you liked it all that much, if I recall.
I didn't. It's a crime noir, somewhat thriller, and the setting's the most interesting piece. It's in this little main seaport, and I guess ports have their own problems because anyone can come in and commit crime. But I'll just leave it at my tagline and let you take it. The biggest twist is there wasn't a twist, Hannah. It was just so straightforward.
See, I disagreed with you there because I did feel that there was a twist, and it really, to me, reminded me of that film, The Kitchen. I called it The Kitchen by the Sea, but it's actually better than The Kitchen was. This sort of bizarre tale of female empowerment in this small town. It's a quirky kind of film. It's definitely odd. It's rated R, so it's not for the kids to be watching. But it's an hour and a half. So even if you're not loving it, you get through it. And it is very bizarre, but that's also, it was the one I thought sort of worked with my hopes and wine from, a place called Port Misery. So it was definitely a rather miserable port. And one of the sisters featured in it, you know, just can't wait to get out of this town. And it has June Squibb, who's just always fun in these little indies. The older woman, Margot Martindale, is in it. She's always fun. So I liked it better than you. I'm not saying it's great by any stretch. It's just it's bleak quirk is how I would describe it.
And I would usually love bleak quirk, and I really did appreciate and latch on to Margot Martindale's performance. She has a lot. She actually has a lot to do here, usually, than she normally gets to do. But no, there's less than meets the eye here. I don't see any buzz here.
All right. Well, if anyone does happen to find it on Amazon Prime, then they can feel free to weigh in. You can tweet us at The Cinema Clash. We'd be happy to take anyone's comments at this point.
And so, well, I've seen eight movies since this whole, you know, quarantine stay at home business. And I want to plug the best one I have seen is a very recent Netflix edition, and it's in Spanish, and it's called The Platform. It's very reminiscent of Snowpiercer, something like that. You know, the upper class, the better class is up above, and the lessers are down below. It's a prison film, but it's a vertical prison, so there's two prisoners per floor, and you're not really sure how many floors are in this prison. And the gimmick is food. This tray of food starts on floor one. In 2 minutes, you can eat whatever you want. And then the tray of food goes down, 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 floor per floor per floor. You know, and people on the bottom, they're not going to get any food. There won't be any left. So, you know, are people going to work together and ration? Or are people just going to be like, hey, I'm floor one this week? Because they change every week. I'm floor one this week, or I'm floor 51 next week. It's a strange film that a lot of people are going to be talking about. I think it's I've seen a lot of Twitter conversations about it. I told my coworkers to watch it, and they got a lot out of it. I really enjoyed The Platform.
I had not heard of that one, so I'll have to start digging into the social media bit and try and find those threads. I actually watched a documentary also based on some people who had already seen it, kind of giving it high marks on Netflix, and it's called Crip Camp, A Disability Revolution. And it was really about the disabled civil rights movement and how this camp down the road from Woodstock that these teenagers with disabilities would go to really transformed their lives and sparked this landmark movement to really get ultimately to get the ADA passed, because they lobbied for building accessibility and things like that. I would call it a Charlie Eat Your Vegetables documentary because it didn't thrill me. I found it to be a little too all over the map. I found the narrative just kind of went in too many different directions in terms of trying to identify different characters. But certainly it really was interesting. This camp operated from 1951 to 1977. I certainly had not heard about it, but it obviously was a story that very few people have heard of about this camp, but that the camp ultimately really did changed the world in many ways. And so, you know, if it definitely is a documentary that if you want to learn more about some very interesting characters, it is also it is an R-rated documentary. This is not a documentary to be showing the kids and going, isn't this inspirational? Because a lot of these kids, this was still the time of Woodstock, if you get my drift.
I do get your drift. I caught up with one you saw and that we had talked about on this podcast maybe about a month ago on Prime Video, Troop Zero.
Oh, yeah.
I initially said, hey, I didn't see the trailer, but I saw the poster. And I was like, oh, they just remade a Southern Troop Beverly Hills. I was wrong. They did not remake.
I told you.
Troop Beverly Hills. It is very, oh my God, it is very Southern. Oh, the wonderful child actress McKenna Grace is very good. Her father, Jim Gaffigan, Viola Davis, Allison Janney playing a very standard Allison Janney role. No one else could be in that role. But you liked it more than I did. I didn't get really too much out of it. But, you know, the little poor kids that could, trying to win the jamboree that the rich girls always win.
I think, I
didn't really latch onto that.
I think it's a great family film to be watching right now. I think, you know, in terms of looking for something that different age groups would appreciate, I think it's a good one that has a really sweet message about, you know, following your own path and a good way to overcome adversity. It has a lot to do with like girls and science and space. So I definitely would encourage people who are trying to keep the kids entertained, especially I would say like the 7 to 12-year-old girls. They might really appreciate watching that Troop Zero.
Yeah, I think my son's a little too young for it. I don't think he would have taken to it. Something else he would not have taken to was I finally caught up with the new Pet Sematary that they released last year. It's like the same weekend as Shazam, and we both went to see Shazam instead. I never saw the first Pet Sematary, but I saw Pet Sematary 2 in 1992 when I was a little bit too young for it, and it never kind of left me. But this remake is, you know, it's okay. The best thing about this is that it has this ending that you just do not see coming. I was so shocked and surprised by this ending. Like, even if it's a lackluster first 80 minutes, I really think the ending is worth, even if you know the story, you know, your cat dies, go take it to the specific old burial ground, and it comes back like a different cat, like my cat. Or if your kid dies, you know, you're sad, maybe you should just leave your kid in the ground and it shouldn't come back as something else. But man, that's a doozy of an ending.
You are definitely choosing some very different films to watch than I would. But okay. But I do think it's worth mentioning some of the big ones that are really speeding into the streaming market because of the current situation. And so there are some really good ones out there that if you miss them in the theater, you definitely can catch them now or very soon. And I'm just going to run them all down, then you can pick which is your favorite. But there's Onward and Emma and The Gentleman and The Way Back and the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie, Just Mercy, Bloodshot, which I don't think either of us ever saw, the Vin Diesel super soldier drama. So those are just, you know, some of those ones. And Sonic the Hedgehog, I think, is coming out in a few days. So those are just some of those ones that are fairly recent that you will be able to watch from home.
Good Lord, watch The Gentleman by far and away the best movie on that list. It's so quirky and one of the best screenplays so far this year. And your boy Charlie Hunnam and Hugh Grant are awesome in this film. And it's a great ensemble. It's a quirky story this way and that. It's intriguing. It's interesting. Go see The Gentlemen.
Yeah, I actually do think that The Gentlemen is a really good choice for the adults who are killing time, maybe after the kids have gone to bed. Emma, I think, is still also, though, a very entertaining adaptation of the Jane Austen classic. And so that's the kind of one that I think you could have sort of a virtual watch party with your book club peeps. That would be a fun thing to do. And then Onward, you know, was not my favorite in terms of recent Pixar films, but it's actually, I think, getting better in retrospect, because now, you know, any opportunity to have a really good family film experience. And if they did miss it when it first came out, then I'm kind of glad that it's going to be available.
You mentioned two kids' films, and Onward is the better. It is lesser Pixar, but it is better than Sonic the Hedgehog, which is not a bad movie. Sonic the Hedgehog now, congratulations, is the highest box office ever for a film based on a video game. But Rack and Stack, the two, and Onward's the clear winner.
Yeah, and The Way Back, as good as it was, it's just not the feel-good type of film that, even though it does have, in the end, it's sort of redeemed. It's a redemption movie. As much as I do love Ben Affleck in it, it's good if you wanted to see it when it came out and just forgot or didn't have a chance. But it's not the kind of film that's going to make you all that happy. And, you know, if you're looking for something really more entertaining, it's a sports movie, but it's wrapped in a psychological drama that's very much an R-rated film.
All right. Well, I have one for you. Mm-hmm. It is on Amazon Prime Video, and it came out in 2011. And I didn't hear about it back then, so it's brand new to me. There, and I think you would really get a kick out of A Good Old-Fashioned Orgy.
Okay.
So in the long, long ago of 9 years ago, Jason Sudeikis headlined this comedy with people who were, I guess, bigger in 2011, like Lake Bell and Leslie Bibb and Nick Kroll is in there, who's still around. But A Good Old-Fashioned Orgy is this comedy that is almost throwback to the 80s. So it's raunchy and it's terrible jokes and it's disgusting and it all wraps up into something a little quite funny. I mean, it's, you know, it's not highbrow. It's the lowest of the lowbrow.
And is that why?
Plenty of people would not like it, but I guarantee you, I think you, if you need a, you know, if you're shut in and you need to laugh, I guarantee parts of this will make you laugh.
Okay, you know, I'm up for pretty much any challenge under the current situation, so I might just have to take you up on that. And, you know, I know you'd appreciate this, but different things, everyone has access to so many different channels right now and so many streaming services. And I was so excited for about 10 seconds the other day that I saw that your favorite Sweet Home Alabama was playing on one of the movie channels on the cable system. And then I turned to the channel and I was denied because I was not a subscriber to that particular movie channel. And so
your cable service did you a favor.
So
they're looking out for you.
Those are the kinds of movies that I prefer to watch in a pandemic. But I know that you are not a friend.
No, this is a lot. Like I could have challenged you with Vivarium. I could have challenged you with Pet Sematary, but I wouldn't do that. I want to actually challenge you with something I know that at least will make it's a little lighthearted and you'll get a chuckle out of. I'm doing you a favor here.
No, I'm sure. So I appreciate it. And and I will try to pick something for next week that I can challenge you with. Although I do actually, you know what? I challenge you to watch at least just the first full episode of The Tiger King, because I know, but I know,
I don't
but
like that
it's
stuff,
only 49 minutes. You can handle it. It's 49 minutes. And so if you get to the very last minute of that particular first episode and you don't want to go on, that's fine. But I would say.
So is this a challenge? We actually have to do this. I can't say, oh, but is that we actually have
you
to
have
do
to do this because you've got nothing but time, dude. Well, maybe not.
I got homeschool routines. I got stuff going on.
You got stuff cooking over there, I know. So so we'll see. But if you can, if you find yourself with an hour and you decide not to watch some like Pet Sematary 286, then you can watch this one movie. But so, you know, we'll see. We got to have something to kind of keep us going from week to week here, because we really do not have any idea how long all of this will last. And so even though we were only really on hiatus for, I think, what, 1 week? Is that all it was?
We did take last week off, I believe.
Yeah. So while we were trying to figure out the new normal. And so I will just close with saying, you know, if there is a demand for more episodes, we will do our best to crank them out.
We are amazing like that. We are up
That's
here.
Right.
You know, some people are down there, but we're
or
up here.
We may just do them anyway, even if there is zero demand, because we need something to do. And I miss seeing you, Charlie. It's really weird to just kind of be talking over the computer without a little face to face to get us through this thing.
It's Friday, so Eddie the cat was at the front door. Like, he knows Friday Hannah comes over.
Yeah,
and we go down here, and he's like, Come on. Where's Hannah?
See, so say hi to Eddie for me. And, you know, we'll just see. We'll take it week by week and see how it goes and see what stuff the studios decide to put out there. And we'll try and catch some of the new stuff and also recommend some of the older stuff. So that's about it. We'll keep it short this week. Thanks so much for listening to the Cinema Clash Pandemic Edition. Stay safe, follow the rules, take care of one another. I am Hannah Buchdahl of chickflix.net.
And I am Charlie Jewell. Please now go wash your hands.